Welcome to this service at Providence Christian Church on the fourth Sunday of Lent. This is our second Sunday to lead worship in an empty sanctuary while our church is scattered about Jessamine and Fayette counties in their homes because of the danger of the COVID-19 virus. I know we miss gathering together for worship, but look on the bright side. You didn't have to do your hair, iron your clothes, put on your makeup, or struggle to get the kids dressed. And best of all, you can worship in your jammies. We are, well, just Glenn, but the rest of us are clothed. This service is meant to give you an opportunity to worship in your home. Friday, we sent out an email which contained a PDF file for you to download the worship bulletin. With the bulletin in hand, you can participate in the written confession and in singing the hymns. We encourage you to retrieve some elements that you can use for communion. Incidentally, we do have pre-filled communion cups in the church office if you'd like to come by this week and get some for your home service. But those are not necessary for a full experience of communion. You can use whatever you have in your home. So why not light a candle for your worship space as a sign that God is with you in your home and not confined to the sanctuary of Providence Christian Church or any other church? Stop this recording now so you can retrieve what you need for your worship.
Let us continue our journey to the cross and consider the betrayer Judas. Judas, the name is revolting. Just to hear it spoken churns acid in our stomachs. Judas, the disciple who plotted to have Jesus arrested. Judas's treachery led to the crucifixion of our Lord. How could Judas betray Jesus after spending 3 years as his disciple? After all the people he had seen Jesus heal? After all the miracles he had seen Jesus perform? After all the teachings he had heard Jesus share? After all the time living together, eating together, talking together, traveling together, worshiping together, and praying together, how could Judas betray the wisest, the most compassionate, the most faithful, the most spiritual person who ever lived?
They say money talks. Was it the siren sound of money that led Judas to his betrayal? People will do anything for money. Drug companies lied about opioids that addicted millions, which resulted in thousands of deaths and destroyed lives. People sell their bodies, embezzle from their employers, lie to their customers, and cheat on their taxes, all for money. People will abandon their ethics and sell their souls for money. We don't know if it was greed that motivated Judas, but we know the tragic result of his betrayal, the crucifixion of the Son of God. Today we place a bag of coins on the stairs to remind us of the betrayal of our Lord by Judas, one of Jesus' disciples. As modern-day disciples, may we be mindful of the temptations that we all face that may lead to our betrayal as well.
As children of God's light, we are called to do what is pleasing to the Lord, to participate in what is good and right and true, and to expose what is unfruitful and evil. Knowing that we turn from the light, we bring our confession to God, so that what is hidden in us becomes visible, and the shadows of our hearts may be illumined by grace. Join me now in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, we are people who still love darkness rather than light. We keep shameful deeds secret, but flaunt our occasional acts of virtue. We see ourselves as blameless, but pass judgment on others. We do not stand firmly enough with those who are vulnerable, but step back, protecting ourselves. Forgive us, we pray. Bring us into your light, that we may see ourselves rightly. Bring us into your light, that we may know ourselves loved. Bring us into your light, that we may live more fruitful lives. Keep raising us, we pray, from the deadness of sin, and shine upon us with your grace. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Now the psalmist assures us that God's goodness and mercy will follow us, even pursue us, all the days of our lives. As God's forgiven people, receive this goodness and mercy and live a new life in the grace of Jesus Christ. We will live as children of the light, for Christ shines in us.
Wow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion?
Will you join with me in prayer? In our morning prayer, I ask that when you hear me say, "We ask of the Lord," that you'll respond aloud, "Lord, hear our prayers." Sovereign God, we bow before you this day, remembering that you are the creator of all things, the stars that prick the night sky with light, the rivers that carve their way through the land, the fish that swim in the oceans and streams, the birds that soar playfully over our heads, the mountains that rise up majestically from the plains, the dogs that curl up in our laps, the families that you gave us and that shaped our character. All that is, that was, that ever will be, comes from you, O great and awesome God. We pray that you would look upon us with your love and mercy. We ask of the Lord, "Lord, hear our prayers." We have been victimized by a virus that has nearly paralyzed the world. We need your presence to give us courage and your power to strengthen us. We ask of the Lord, "Lord, hear our prayers." We pray for our government leaders to be filled with wisdom and compassion as they lead our responses to the challenges that we face. We ask of the Lord. We pray for the courageous health workers, for postal workers, for restaurant workers, for grocery store workers, for government workers who continue to serve us at the risk of their own health. Give them strength and protection, we ask of the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
We pray for those who have become sick with the virus that they might recover. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones that they might be comforted. We ask of the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
We pray that within the challenge of these days that we might see the opportunities to slow down, to focus upon our families, to reflect upon our lives, to reach out to those who may be lonely and in need, to read a good book, to read the good book, the Bible, to pray to you, and to grow closer to you, we ask of the Lord. We pray for our congregation to find courage and faith in these times, and we especially lift up to you Mary Lee Mattingly, Buddy Littrell, Jackie Bellman, Glenn Payne and his family, Rose Hall's sister, Joan. Bless them, O merciful God, we ask of the Lord.
Lord, hear
our prayers. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter, verses 14 through 16 and 47 through 50. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, we have this account. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. There was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Why did he do it? Why in the world did he do it? Why did Judas, a disciple handpicked by Jesus, betray him? We may be sure that Judas was no puppet predestined to play a necessary part in the betrayal of Jesus. Judas was essentially a free agent acting from his own motives, whatever they were. And people have speculated for centuries, what were those motives? Greed has been argued as the reason for the betrayal. And that certainly appears to be John's argument in his gospel. John tells of Judas's reaction to Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet with expensive ointment. John quotes Judas saying, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And then John comments, This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take whatever was put into it. Greed certainly is a strong motivator for people. If you read any murder mysteries or watch them on television or movies, the motivation for murder is always money or love. The temptation of money draws people into all sorts of immoral behavior. In 1 Timothy we read, "But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Was it the love of money that led Judas to betray Jesus? Well, I'm not so sure. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he states that Judas went to the priests and asked them what they would pay him for delivering Jesus to them. It sounds like a shakedown, but there was no bargaining over the price. The priest just handed over to Judas 30 pieces of silver. 30 shekels was only the equivalent to about $10. In the Old Testament days, it could buy a foreign slave. But if Judas was really motivated by greed, certainly he would have bargained for a much higher price. The other argument against greed as the motivation for Judas's betrayal is that he was the treasurer for Jesus and the disciples. But it makes no sense that Jesus would have put the group's finances into the hands of a greedy thief. Jesus knew what was in the hearts of people. And thus one would expect Jesus to choose a disciple in charge of the money box who was reliable, honest, and wise in handling money. I'm not convinced that greed was what motivated Judas to betray Jesus. Resentment has been identified as a possible reason for Judas's betrayal. Judas's name, Judas Iscariot, probably refers to the fact that he was a man, in Hebrew that word is Ish, from Kerioth, a town in southern Judah. Ish Iscariot. Consequently, Judas was the only disciple who was not from the region of Galilee. As a result, Judas may have felt like an outsider amongst that group of 11 Galileans and Jesus also from Galilee. He did not know their culture. He did not know what life was like in Galilee. His life in Judah, in the town of Kerioth, would have been considerably different. And though he was the treasurer of the group, Judas was not a member of Jesus' inner circle, which was composed of Peter, James, and John. Judas may have felt left out, overlooked. And as those feelings festered over three years, Judas may have decided he had just had enough of it and sought to sabotage the movement. I suspect we all know what it feels like when you're the new person in the group of people who've known each other for a long time or who have common backgrounds or interests that are different from your own. You feel like the odd man or woman out. And you wonder if those whispers you hear in the group are about you, or if the laughter at the back of the room is at your expense. Resentment can lead to malicious actions to get even with those who have hurt you. It's plausible that Judas betrayed Jesus out of resentment. Nevertheless, I believe that pride was the reason for Judas's betrayal. After 3 years of believing in Jesus and following him, I suspect that Judas had become frustrated and disillusioned. The kingdom of God that Jesus promised didn't appear any closer than it had been when Judas started to follow Jesus. And indeed, military power was on display in Jerusalem to intimidate and bully the huge crowds of Jews who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it just reminded Judas that Jesus' plans for the kingdom, well, they were powerless against the military might of Rome. Now, some scholars have theorized that Judas was formerly a zealot. The zealots were a revolutionary group that were determined to overthrow the Romans by force. When Judas saw that Jesus' approach to the kingdom seemed doomed against the military might of Rome, perhaps he decided to force Jesus' hand by having him arrested. Judas recognized that with tens of thousands of Jewish pilgrims in Jerusalem for the Passover, that by having Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, arrested by the Romans, it would lead to an uprising of the people against Rome. And perhaps it would lead to divine intervention and overthrow of the Roman rule and oppression. But alas, the plan backfired. God did not intervene to save Jesus, nor did the Passover pilgrims revolt against Rome to save Jesus. Judas's plan didn't lead to the kingdom of God, but rather to the crucifixion of the Son of God. I contend that it was pride that led to Judas's ill-advised plan. Judas convinced himself that he was smarter than Jesus. He decided he had a better plan than Jesus had to bring in the kingdom of God. Judas had lost his faith in Jesus and instead put his trust in himself over Christ. In Proverbs 16:18, we read, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Judas's pride resulted in the greatest disaster imaginable, the execution of the Son of God. When Matthew wrote this gospel, he had challenges of his own church in mind. Matthew's church was comprised of Jews who had come to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And the Christians of Matthew's community, however, still considered themselves Jews and continued to worship in the synagogue with other Jews who didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. But as their claim of Jesus as the Messiah became increasingly unacceptable to the Pharisees and the scribes of the synagogue, Christians were forced out of the Jewish faith community. But some Christians couldn't bear losing their Jewish community, and they turned their backs on the messianic claims of Jesus in order to stay a part of that Jewish community. Matthew may have seen the betrayal of those Christians like the betrayal of Jesus, of Judas. We see Matthew making this point so that his fellow Christians would examine their faith in Christ in light of the challenges to be faithful. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus declared, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples were distressed, the text says, and they said to Jesus and to one another, "Surely not I, Lord. Surely I will not betray you." And though they could not Imagine betraying Jesus at that moment. By the end of that night, Peter would deny knowing Jesus three times, and the rest of the disciples would desert Jesus after he was arrested. Betrayal of Jesus was a problem not only with Judas, but also with the disciples and also with Matthew's church. Is betrayal a problem with today's church? Surely not I, Lord. A church in Houston was having homeless people hang around their facility, even sleeping in the doorways through the night. And some parishioners were even afraid to come to church at night because of the homeless hanging around their building. And so they built a 10-foot high fence around their entire property to keep homeless people out. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, as you did it, not as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. If the church exists merely to protect its buildings and its members rather than save the lost and heal the broken, have we betrayed Jesus? Surely not I, Lord. A congregation did a survey of their members and asked, what should be the most important priority of the church? And one person who turned in the survey answered, cushions for the pews. When the church is more interested in its own comfort than willing to embrace the discomfort and struggle of engaging in the mission of Jesus to the world, have we betrayed Jesus? Surely not I, Lord. When Christians' lifestyle reflect the materialism of society rather than the generous, compassionate ministry of Jesus with the poor, the persecuted, and the foreigner, have we betrayed Jesus? Surely not I, Lord. When Christians divide their congregations over partisan politics rather than yielding to the Holy Spirit to unite them in devotion to Christ and His ministry, have we betrayed Jesus? Surely not I, Lord. Surely that is not us. Or maybe I have failed you, Lord, and betrayed you, and betrayed who you have called me to be and called your church to be. My Christian friends, we may have failed Jesus at times, as did Judas and the disciples, but thank God that is not the end of our story. Nor was it the end of the early church's story. For after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to Peter, who had failed Jesus miserably, and Jesus charged him to feed his sheep. And Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he charged them to be his witnesses and to make disciples throughout the world. Christ died for the forgiveness of sins, your sins, and my sins. And so we can begin again and receive God's forgiveness and commit ourselves anew to live not for ourselves, not for our comfort, but as servants of God in the mission of Jesus. Surely, Lord, that is who we are.
at thy table, Lord, this sacred hour. Oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin.
Wherever you may be in your home, let's gather together as a community and celebrate the Lord's Supper. You know, listening to Reverend Jerry this morning, I kept thinking in my mind about Judas. Judas was there. Judas was at the table with our Lord. Judas had his feet washed by Jesus. And you know, it's not really clear to me whether Judas was actually there or not when Jesus did this wonderful thing, the Lord's Supper, for his disciples. But whether he was there or not, Jesus knew Judas. Jesus knew Judas's heart, and Jesus washed his feet. And he knew the heart of Peter, who would deny him. And he knew the hearts of all the rest of the disciples who would flee when the going got really rough. And yet he instituted this ritual for us. And he gave it to them just as he gives it to us. So even though he knew our pride, our greed, our fear, he gave us this ritual anyway. He gave us himself. And that's what we really remember when we gather to do this, is that Jesus gave himself out of his great love for us. And so on the night when he knew that all this was about to happen, that the people that he loved most in the world were going to one way or the other betray him, he took bread and he took wine, and he blessed them, and he gave them to them. And he said, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. So let's bow our heads to now in gratitude and thank our Lord God and his Son, our Savior Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he knew our weakness and loved us anyway. Father God, thank you for our Son Jesus, for your Son Jesus, for our Savior Jesus. Thank you for that great sacrifice. Thank you that you loved us so very, very much. And thank you that you left us with a constant reminder of that love through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Thank you for the bread and thank you for the wine. And we thank you most for what it means and what it makes us remember. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Christ's body, sacrificed for us all. Let us eat together. the cup of salvation, his blood poured out for the world. Let us drink together. Thank you, God, for the wonderful gifts that you give us and that you continue to give us. And thank you again for Lord Jesus. Amen. As we go about our days in this brave new world that we're living in right now, with our fears and our hopes and the uncertainties for our future, let's remember that we have access to the giver of all good gifts, the giver of all resources. And let's remember those around us, our neighbors. Let's remember your church family. Let's remember the institution of this church and continue your stewardship. Open up your hearts and know that we can never outgive God and that we always can turn to the Father in heaven for the great gifts that he gives us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those great gifts. Thank you that we can call on you in times of trouble. Thank you that you truly are the source of our strength, the source of our salvation, and the source of all that we have. Help us to set aside our fears and relax into your love. Help us to have grateful hearts and to give back because you have given us so much. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
The situation that we are in is surreal. It feels like we're living in a disaster movie, doesn't it? Our world has been turned upside down. But despite all this dramatic change and upheaval and uncertainty, God is still God. God still loves us. And God is still with us. Be not afraid. God goes through this with us. The psalmist wrote, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And now to him who is able to do far more than all that you ask or think, to him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Amen.